Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschakta Deshatarine. Well, we've all, at least those who are members of the Krishna Conscious Movement, are all familiar with this Pranam Mantra, or Mantra of Offering Respect to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. It's often mispronounced, Namaste Sarasvati Devi, which converts Srila Prabhupada into a female, an exalted female, but a female nevertheless. So it's Sarasvati Devi. It means he is a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. So the second of the, it's actually two pranam mantras, the second of them, describes some particular characteristics of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Wow. That he is the servant of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, who by preaching the message of Gaura, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is delivering the Western countries from impersonalism and voidism. This Pranam Mantra was composed by Srila Prabhupada, which might seem rather strange that he would compose his own Pranam Mantra. But he did so because he had to teach his disciples to worship him, which again sounds rather strange. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur addressed this dichotomy of a guru teaching his disciples to worship himself. In one of his most famous lectures, he said that if a Vaishnava becomes a guru, he ceases to be a Vaishnava. Because a guru means spiritual, Srila Prabhupada generally translated this as spiritual master. But a Vaishnava identifies himself as not as even as a Vaishnava, but as a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. So if a Vaishnava becomes a guru, then he ceases to be a Vaishnava. But if he doesn't take the role of a guru, then the disciplic succession ceases to exist. No one takes the role of a guru. Therefore, on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jare Deko Tare Koha Krishna Upadesh Amar Agyai Guru Hoyatara Edesh, to be on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order received in disciplic succession to preach and be a guru, a Vaishnav has to follow the order of his guru, which is to be a guru. So the duty of the guru is to teach the disciple about Krishna as Krishna is revealed through Shastra, or more precisely through Amnayavani. Amnayavani, I'll explain it. Which means the message of Shastra received through the parampara of pure devotees. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in this lecture said that when in the course of teaching the Bhagavatam to his disciples, when the guru comes to the point when Krishna says, Krishna teaching Uddhava says the Acharya is to be respected as good as God, what should the guru do? Does anyone know that verse? Anyone know? Say it. Acharyam mam vijaniyan navamanyate karhichit
namartya buddhya suyata sarva deva mayu.
Yeah, that's correct. Do you want to give the translation? You know that verse? Lord Krishna says, one should know the Acharya to be myself. It literally means to be myself, or in the context we can understand it to mean as good as myself. He's not to be disrespected in any way. He's not to be considered a mortal, ordinary mortal, or envied, because he is full of all, he is decorated with all the great godly qualities. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that when you come to this point of the Bhagavatam, should the guru not state what Krishna says? Should the guru instead teach the disciples that the guru should be beaten with a whip So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I will not adopt such hypocrisy. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada taught his disciples, who were totally devoid of any culture or knowledge of Vaishnava tradition, that they should worship him, Srila Prabhupada. Not like all these bogus gurus that you worship me and that's all, but you should be worshipped as Namaṁ Viṣṇu Pādaya Krishna Preṣṭhāya, what obeisance is offered to he who is very dear to Krishna, who is at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord.
Preṣṭhāya.
Pādaya. Namaṁ Viṣṇu
Pādaya.
Srila Prabhupada would correct his disciples when they said Padaya, Pādaya. It can make a lot of difference in the pronunciation if you get it wrong. If you pronounce the words wrongly, it can make a lot of difference. Just like I hear devotees singing Yasya Prasada Nagati Katopi, which means that by the mercy of the Guru, one has absolutely no hope of achieving any good benefit or goal. The correct pronunciation is Yasya Prasada, by his non-mercy. By his non-mercy, if his mercy is withdrawn, or if one does not get the favor of the spiritual master, then there's no hope. But if you sing Yasya Prasadad Nagati Katopi, it means that by his mercy, there's absolutely no hope of making any advancement in spiritual life. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada taught his disciples, he gave them this mantra to worship him by. The first of these two pranam mantras, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine, it's based on the pranam mantra to his own Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it's a generic mantra for all Vaishnava gurus. But his specific qualities that are described in the second verse. Now, Srila Prabhupada has innumerable transcendental qualities, and he performed innumerable transcendental activities. But Srila Prabhupada summarized what to him was the most important in his own pranam mantra. The first mantra is the generic one, is I offer respect to he who is situated at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, who is very dear to Lord Krishna in this world, and who is named Bhaktivedanta Swami. Then in the second verse, respects are offered to the servant of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Srila Prabhupada identified himself very clearly, strongly, unequivocally, as the servant of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. And particularly that servant who, by preaching the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is delivering the Western countries from impersonalism and voidism. Now, of course, Srila Prabhupada didn't only preach in the Western world. He actually preached all over the world, or in many countries of the world. Just by his brief visit to Russia, and he blessed this land. And nowadays we are seeing the beginning of the sprouting of the tree of Srila Prabhupada's good wishes for the Russian people. When Srila Prabhupada was asked by one of his disciples that why for the Western countries, when Prabhupada is preaching all over the world, and Prabhupada said, well, I was specifically deputed to preach in the Western countries by my Guru Maharaj. And specifically, what is he saving them from? Nirvishesha Shunyavad, from impersonalism and voidism. Now, Srila Prabhupada didn't state from atheism or from materialism or from capitalism, but he stated from impersonalism and voidism. Nirvishesha Shunyavada. Nirvishesha means without specialty, without defining characteristics. This means relativism. Krishna's specialty is that he is different, categorically different from everything else and everyone else. Krishna is special in a manner that is beyond the scope of the brain, the materially conditioned brain or intelligence, to fathom. But impersonalism or relativism or denies any special status to anything. The original Mayavad in India, of course it's not original, it keeps on coming round and round again and again, but at least in this Kali Yuga, the main manifestation of Mayavad is that coming from Shankaracharya, who shamelessly and unequivocally declared in works like his Vivek Churamani that the Supreme is without any characteristics, it is all one, it is you, the Self, you are God. Absolute, undifferentiated, without any it's the oneness of the Absolute. So Mayavad is we're having all these classes on psychology, but Mayavad is a severe psychological aberration. It is the disease. It is a serious disease by which one imagines oneself to be God and imagines that Krishna is not God, that there's nothing particularly special about Krishna. So this non-specialty, or that everything is all relative to everything else, is throughout the world, throughout every culture, in every phase of history, this impersonalism is prominent. And we'll find in even the apparently theological traditions of the world, if we go deeply into what they espouse, we'll find that ultimately they come to the point of thinking that we all have to become one with God. Practically, the Vaishnava Acharyas are the only ones who have clearly established the specialty of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Many people, they can't accept that God is Krishna, or the Supreme is Krishna. We believe in God, but not that Krishna. They refuse to accept that the Supreme is a cowherd boy who plays on a flute. They don't like to accept the name Krishna. In various ways, they like to deny the personality of Krishna. So this Mayavad takes many forms, and it leads to many forms, that one has to take birth in at least 8,400,000 forms by adhering to Mayavad. Especially those who are Mayavadis, those who are dedicated Mayavadis, they're liable to take birth as stones or jackals. Or jackals. You don't have jackals in Russia, right? Shakala. Okay. The Sanskrit word is Shrigala. Almost the same word. So even the persons who don't openly expound Mayavad, they are infected by that if they don't recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The modern world is, at the present time, is extremely affected by this Mayavad in terms of relativism. Everything is relative to everything else. It's the idea that everything is relative to it. There's no absolute principle. The first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam completely knocks out Mayavad. But this idea, well, the truth is something that you imagine it to be. I have my truth, you have your truth, and truth is whatever you desire it to be. You've all heard these ideas, isn't it? But that actually, this is atheism, because it puts the individual limited jiva in the position of defining the truth. And by making the truth relative to each individual, it denies the ultimate truth to which everyone actually is subordinate. Many people, they appreciate Krishna consciousness. They think, oh, that's nice. But their appreciation is based on misunderstanding. That, for them that's good, but not for me. That's their path. All right, if they want to do. Okay, that's nice. Of course, we might appreciate that more than people who, when they see a devotee's chanting, they want to come out with clubs and smash them on the head. But the appreciation based on thinking that, well, that's your way, it's nothing to do with me, and I have my own way, and you do that, I'll do this, it's all the same. It's not a mature appreciation, far from being a mature or clear appreciation. And the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it's horrifying to those who would like to imagine that you have your way, I have my way, we'll all, I won't criticize you, you don't criticize me. Because Srila Prabhupada criticizes pretty much everything in the world. He criticizes pretentious religiosity. He criticizes what goes on in the name of Christianity. He criticizes modern governments. He criticizes meat eating, gambling, illicit sex, and intoxication. He criticizes the educational system. He criticizes democracy. He criticizes feminism. Is there anything left? If there is, he'll criticize it. So people are saying, well, this Swami, this ringing the bells and singing, that's nice, but he's extraordinarily dogmatic. But actually, Srila Prabhupada was not at all dogmatic, but he was simply presenting the facts as they are. And then the relativists will say, that's total dogmatism, what you say, that he's just presenting the facts as they are. That's only your opinion. If you want to believe Krishna's God, that's okay. That's your opinion, but it's only your opinion. Don't try to force it on me. But the fact is that there must be some supreme. There must be God. So if you don't know... Sometimes people would say to Prabhupada, why do you say Krishna is God? And Prabhupada would say, well, if you can give any other better understanding of who is God, you tell me. But if you can't, you should accept Krishna. People say they believe in God, but they have very vague idea of what is the meaning of God. And Srila Prabhupada was anything but vague. He was very clear in everything he said. Once at the end of a lecture, someone stood up, it was a public lecture, someone stood up and, as if to challenge Prabhupada, he said that, well, everything you say is so clear. As if you have no doubt and you know everything. So he was presenting it like a criticism. Sorry? He presented it as a criticism. And Prabhupada replied, thank you very much. There must be, if there is no ultimate truth, then we are lost in the sea of vagueness. I hope you know the word vague by now. Abstractness. Indefinability. Nothing is clear. Nothing is real. That's another psychological disorder. What do you say, Mister? If you're not clear about anything, you don't know. Should I do this or should I do that, or is it like this or is it like that? And you don't know. You have no direction. No clarity in anything. This is a completely useless outlook on life. And sitting looking at the bread and thinking, well, should I eat it or shouldn't I? Am I really hungry or is it just imagination? But actually the Mayavadi rascals don't do that. They eat the bread, and while they're munching on it, they say that, well, actually... It's not really bread at all. It's just I'm imagining it's bread. There are certain things are clear and defined. If you don't eat, then you grow weak and eventually die. So people say, well, everything's an illusion, but they also eat. When they're hungry, they don't say, well, this food is illusion, so there's no point in eating it. If anyone says to you, everything is an illusion, you should get a big hammer and hit them very hard on the head. And then when they scream, they say, don't scream, it's just an illusion. It's a meaningless philosophy. Absolutely meaningless, yes. So to understand Krishna means to find the meaning that is lost in the world of meaninglessness. So when Srila Prabhupada says that anything but complete surrender to Krishna is bogus, then he's correct, because he's speaking from the platform of correctness. It's actually a fact. There are certain facts of reality, and the ultimate fact of reality is that Krishna is the ultimate reality. And that we, the jivas, are tiny parts and parcels of Krishna, and we are meant for serving him. And if we don't serve him, then we become relativists and mayavadis and jackals. And frogs and dogs and cats and worms in stool, and sometimes maybe even Indra. But we don't get love of Krishna. So this relativism sounds very sweet to rascals. Well, your opinion is good, my opinion is good. Yes, yes, everything's good, everything's nice. And everything's good as long as it doesn't do any harm to others. That's the relativist's trumpet call. But we say that anything which is not Krishna conscious is harmful to the individual and to everyone else. Even the mother's love for the child, the much lauded motherly love, is also harmful to the child if she doesn't teach about Krishna. Because she's simply reinforcing the illusion that she is the maintainer, nurturer, and protector of the child. So in the modern world, this relativism has reached, really ridiculous levels. That it's almost laughable. It's enshrined as a sacred principle in the United Nations Charter of Human Rights that all humans are equal. But no one's equal. Everyone's different in every way. You might find two people of the same weight, height, but in terms of intelligence, bodily strength, health, duration of life, tastes, etc., everyone's completely different. Now, the Vedic social system recognizes the differences instead of trying to make everyone all one. Why not, why this Putin should be the prime minister? Just drag some worker who's digging the road and stick him up there. They're all human beings, they're all equal. But can the guy who's digging the road do the job of Putin? And for that matter, can Putin do the job of the guy digging the road? I doubt it. They have different capacities and they're best engaged in their different capacities. That is practical. In the modern age, they say men and women are equal in all respects. And Prabhupada became very unpopular among the feminists in America by saying, no, it's not true. By saying that, well, if you want to make men and women the same, why don't you do it like this, that one time the woman has a baby and the next time the man has a baby. Sounds silly, doesn't it? Well, feminism is silly. The idea that men and women are equal in all respects when they have different functions. Their bodies have different functions, and with that comes different psychology and a different social roles. And then very prominent in the world, in the decadent Western world at the present time, is the homosexual marriage, which they're pressing that this must be accepted all over the world. Everyone must accept it. So Western civilization, if there ever was such a thing, I mean, we use that term because it's just the language, although it never really was civilized, it's doomed. it's finished. If they come to this level of degradation, it cannot last. It's only a matter of time. They're consumed by their own madness. Of course, there is hope for the world, even in this present era, that these books of Srila Prabhupada are distributed very widely. And even though people are extremely dull-headed due to watching Tom and Jerry and various other cultural contributions to modern mankind, and due to the modern education, which fools you into thinking you're becoming more intelligent, where actually the more education you get, the more of an idiot you become. But despite the fact that people are extremely foolish, the spiritual potency of Srila Prabhupada's books is that it can awaken the genuine spiritual intelligence of those who read it. I think it was 1976, there was a big court case in New York against ISKCON that it is a brainwashing movement. So devotees were asking Prabhupada, well, how do we defend ourselves in the court? He said, yes, you should agree, we are brainwashing. Your brain is full of stool, it requires to be washed. He said, actually we're not brainwashing, we're brain giving, you have no brain. He compared modern civilization to the dogs on the street who go around the bitch sniffing. He said, this is the level of your civilization. So Srila Prabhupada's books, they are not mere intellectual ditties. A ditty is a silly little song. Prabhupada's books are not merely intellectual presentations. They are the ultimate limit of intellectual activity, but purified intellectual activity. But they speak to, not exactly to the intelligence, but to the spiritual consciousness. So that people who Yesham tantakatang papang jananang punya karma nam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajanti mangrida vrataha. Persons who have acted piously, people who have been devotees in previous lives, when they read these books, they immediately understand, yes, this is correct, this is truth, this is Krishna. Papam, papam. That a few years ago I was in the questions and answers booth at the Rath Yatra parade in London, after the Rath Yatra in London. So many people were shooting questions at me because they didn't like this absolute approach. They wanted to show, we know better than you, we're more intelligent than you. So after some time I got fed up of all their stupid questions, which they thought were very intelligent. So I said, all of you are speaking as if you know so much, but actually you don't know anything. You're all fools. You think you know a lot, but you don't know anything. From the very beginning of life, you've simply been cheated. You've been cheated by the educational system, by the TV, by the newspapers, by your parents. You have absolutely no genuine spiritual knowledge. So I spoke like this for about five, maybe only about 3 minutes. Then I stopped. There was silence. And someone said, he's right. So actually, the way Prabhupada spoke, he spoke very clearly, not trying to mix him, not trying to fit in any box that anyone wanted to put him in. He belongs to Krishna. He doesn't belong in anyone's material box. People like to put us in the Hindu box. These are Hindus. Put them in the box. So they feel comfortable. Okay, they're Hindus. We understand. Why are they dressed like that and jumping around like that? Oh, they're Hindus. Okay, Hindu. All right. And we also feel comfortable because instead of having to explain that actually this is the absolute truth and everything you're doing is nonsense, we just say, well, we're Hindus. That's all. And no more discussion. You're comfortable. We're comfortable. You give some donation and we'll be happy and we're Hindus. When the Krishna consciousness movement first began in different countries in the world, like in Russia, for instance, there was a lot of opposition because people, they just couldn't, they were afraid. What is it? We don't understand it. It's something, it's maybe like something invasion from outer space or something like this. So people became very afraid and they hated that. What is this? Then they found a box to put us in. Hindu. Okay, now everything's okay. We understand. Actually, we are from even beyond outer space. And we're from, Krishna is beyond out, he's from beyond outer space and he's at the very heart of inner space.
Cosmos.
But if you just say, well, it's their belief. Okay, so they believe. All right, you believe it. You believe. All right, okay. Pat the dog on the head, give him a biscuit. You say, oh, that's just your belief. Okay, it's just that you pat the dog on the head, give him a biscuit, and then he wags his tail and he licks you and you're all very happy. You got that? Once Srila Prabhupada, he'd actually been at a press conference at an airport and he was walking away and some TV reporter who had come late came running up with his assistant running behind him, holding the camera. So he ran up and got out the camera and puffing and panting, got out his notebook and said to Srila Prabhupada, how does your movement differ from other sects of Hinduism and Buddhism? And Prabhupada looked the reporter right in the eye and said, we have nothing to do with this Hinduism or Buddhism. We are preaching the truth and you can also take it and be benefited. Horrible, dangerous, fanatical. Anyone who doesn't agree to play the relativistic game is a fanatic, according to the relativists. And that's probably true in the case of those who are dogmatic, who don't have spiritual knowledge. But Srila Prabhupada wasn't at all dogmatic. He said, yes, this is the truth, and this is why. He always presented the philosophy of Krishna consciousness on the level of buddhi yoga, intelligent understanding. Philosophy. And if we're actually intelligent, sincere, and philosophically inclined, we can accept that everything that Srila Prabhupada presented is correct. Again, we find in that first verse of Bhagavatam, a succinctly, a complete exposition of the ultimate reality, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So try to understand these points. We have to discuss these again and again and again, how Krishna is beyond even though he is appearing within this world, he is beyond it. How Krishna manifests this material world, but is still aloof from it. How Krishna, although categorically above all other living beings, at the same time has an intimate relationship with every living being. So we require to study the science of God, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, understand it with the intelligence that is given to us by Bhagavan. And distribute these books so that others can also have the opportunity to take advantage of this. A devotee was brought to me today, a doubt which is commonly expressed by devotees, that we distribute books but people don't read them. But actually people do read them. How many of you who are present here came to Krishna consciousness after reading one of Prabhupada's books? Please raise your hand. So, who says that Prabhupada's books don't have an effect? I didn't read it. I didn't buy any of Prabhupada's books. I read someone else's book. They had bought the book. They didn't read it. I read it. The book might sit in someone's house for 25 or 30 years before someone reads it. And then they become a devotee. Or if they don't become a devotee in this life, they may become a devotee in another life. Seed has been planted. So definitely these books have an effect. And actually people are appreciating them. Who's that? Haladini Mataji was telling me she's distributing books in Nabarijni Chalni, that when she shows the books, people say, what's that? Jehovah's books? We don't want that. She said, no, these are Krishna's books, Prabhupada's books. They say, okay, yes, we like, that's good. You give that. We don't want those Jehovah's books, but give us this Prabhupada's books. They know the difference. People already know the difference. I read something recently. It was not written by a devotee. It was written by some kami author. That if you put anything down on the sidewalk in downtown Manhattan in New York and turn away for 5 seconds, when you turn back again, it won't be there. But if you put a whole pile of books on Scientology on the street, they'll remain there until the garbage man comes and takes them out. No one's interested. They know it. Even in their confused consciousness, they can understand that this garbage is even worse than the ordinary garbage. But we're selling Prabhupada's books. As Prabhupada's, in that brainwashing case, they say, well, you're forcing people to take books. He said, we're not forcing them. They don't have to give the money, but if they didn't want it, why should they give the money? Uh-huh. They're giving money. People don't give money very easily. They spend literally millions of dollars on these products, advertising them. Some prime TV spots, like, you know, maybe the World Cup final football, the advertising in that, in between the break, you might have to spend like millions of dollars for 20 seconds advertising space. Because it's not so easy to get people to give their money. But they're giving money for Prabhupada's books. Once in the 1970s, one devotee in Germany, he went to one of the country's top advertising agencies and said, you know, well, maybe we can hire you. You can give some advice how to promote our books. And they told the devotee, you don't need any advertising agency. Your devotees are already the best salesmen in the history of the world. We're studying you. You don't have to take anything from us. We're studying your techniques. But still, we can't understand why, you know, why should people buy those books?
No.
It's your devotees are just, they're brilliant salesmen. It's because the devotees are convinced that these books will benefit people in a way that they can't even imagine being benefited in such a good way. And however much a salesman of mundane goods might be motivated to sell washing machines and, you know, cell phones and back scrubbers and all the kinds of things that salesmen sell, they can never really get that enthusiastic about it. But because devotees read these books and they live according to the message in these books, they're convinced of this message. And they're convinced that people need to get these books. They will benefit in such a way that nothing else in the world can benefit them as these books can benefit them. Therefore, they're enthusiastic to go out day after day, week after week, year after year. Because the devotees are the real well-wishers of human society. And quite frankly, you know, all these kind of halfway or watered down kind of literatures, they can't benefit people nearly in the same way as Prabhupada's books do. You know, sometimes devotees make some magazines with something about Ayurveda and something about UFOs and mysticism and a little bit of, you know, on the side, a little bit of Krishna consciousness. So the message there is that, well, Ayurveda is important and UFOs are important and mysticism is important and Krishna consciousness, well, you know, it's also something quite good, not bad. But Srila Prabhupada's books are clear in the message that the only ultimate good for human society can be brought about by surrendering at the lotus feet of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is a shock for the relativist and the materialist, no doubt, but a necessary shock. At some time in the history of the jivas wandering throughout 8,400,000 species of life, he has to face the fact that he's a fool and has to surrender to Krishna. That for all his big university degrees and his big high-sounding philosophy, for all his Sputniks and armies and big buildings, he's just completely bewildered and confused without understanding his eternal relationship with Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada very kindly to save people the distress of having to go through many, many lifetimes of trying to become happy without Krishna, tells them directly that you can only be happy with Krishna. And this is required. People need to hear this. That by, they require to understand that by focusing our attention on anything else but surrender to Krishna is actually our, not at all for our benefit, but it's the greatest harm to us. So it's very much required that Srila Prabhupada's books are distributed profusely everywhere, and that this message is spoken unequivocally everywhere. All right, what are the questions?
In different ages, Lord appears in the bodies of different colors. Lord Sri Krishna has black body, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu yellow body, and who comes in the body of white and red color in which ages?
Well, it's these in yeah. Did you read it? Yeah, in Russian.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, these yuga avatars are described very briefly in the Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Their activities are not dealt with in great detail. Are not described in great detail. So, as Vyasadev chose to give us the Bhagavatam with that much information we shall take. That's all. Yeah, then?
Although many spiritual masters recommend devotees to live naturally, agricultural life, why still in Russia there are very few devotees who would like to live naturally, farming?
Well, I guess it's hard to change old habits. That's a suggestion why.
What?
It's a struggle, no doubt. It's to make that change when we're used to living in a particular kind of way. But doing so will be a great service. Then?
Please, вашей книге,
please write down the question.
Please tell about future of your book about Bhaktisiddhanta
Saraswati.
That's it.
And the annual question. Well, it's laid out and it's being proofread now, so it should be at the printer fairly soon. Yeah.
When some preacher criticizes the things that Srila Prabhupada criticized in the same manner as he did it, some devotees say that he has bad character. They say that Srila Prabhupada could do it, but you are not pure, therefore you cannot do it as he did. So I was always sure that I repeat the words of Srila Prabhupada. So it was very hard for me to hear this criticism of my behavior. So what can you say on this?
Well, I also got fed up of being told that I shouldn't say what Prabhupada said. So eventually I wrote an essay called On Speaking Strongly in Srila Prabhupada's Service, with over 130 quotes, mostly from Srila Prabhupada and also some from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One from Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. On why it's required to speak as Prabhupada spoke, as he told us to speak. So that essay appears within my book, My Memories of Srila Prabhupada, which is available, I hope. Here in Russian also.
Yes, where are the books?
You have the books? Sorry? Well, the lecture's over now. Yeah, bring them. So you can read in that book, My Memories of Srila Prabhupada, and get your full answer. And still people will criticize you for speaking like this. So you can tell them, well, you're not pure enough to criticize me. Don't criticize me, you're not pure enough. It's more relativism, that everything's okay, everything's nice, don't criticize anyone. There's no real difference between right and wrong, it's just a mental construct. It's just a concept within the mind. There's no real difference between right and wrong. This is relativism, Mayavad.
For what purpose we should go to spiritual master for darshan? Should we go for darshan if we have no special questions?
Well, apart from questions, you can also come with offers of service. You can come to report on your devotional activities. Just like every year when I come, all the devotees from Chibuksara come together. They all come together as a group and tell me about all their preaching activities. So, that's good. Yeah.
One Maharaja told that most important thing for successful preaching is not the philosophy that we preach, but close relationships which we make with those to whom we preach. What do you think on this, and what is your formula of successful preaching?
Well, what is the basis of the relationship? Relationships are based on service. Real relationships are based on service to Krishna. The idea of having a good relationship, which is not on the basis of surrender to Krishna, is simply sentimentalism, or actually it's mutual exploitation. So the real close relationship comes when people appreciate that we're their actual well-wishers by giving them the proper understanding by which they can be eternally benefited. So this idea that we just smile at people and we're nice at them and we don't teach them the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, or that we speak in such a way that they won't ever feel in the slightest bit shocked, I'm not a subscriber to this idea. Srila Prabhupada once told a story of a man who was raised by his aunt.
By his aunt?
Aunt, A-U-N-T. Mm-hmm. And she was very nice to him. She was so nice that she never disciplined him or told him, this is wrong, you shouldn't do this. She never wanted to hurt his feelings. So. She just wanted to have a nice relationship with him. In course of time, that man, as he grew up, fell into bad company and became such a notorious criminal that at one point he was arrested and sentenced to death. So as he was just about to go up to the gallows, he was given one last wish. Anything you want to say, say it now, because you won't be able to say anything after a few minutes. So he saw his aunt sobbing in the crowd and asked her, let her come up. He asked her, come up close to me. Come very close, so your ear is right next to my mouth. She thought he was going to whisper something in her ear, but instead he bit off her ear. And he said, it's your fault that I'm here today. Because you failed to instruct me, in the name of being nice to me, you failed to instruct me in what is right and what is wrong. So certainly we should try to behave in a pleasing manner with people, but not to the extent that we fail to deliver them the actual knowledge of the actual truth. Otherwise, that so-called niceness is simply superficial. Many years ago in Bangladesh, I had an experience which I feel bad about even today, that one Western man he'd come to Bangladesh to do some social work, and somehow he got Prabhupada's Gita in English and found us, even though we were kind of underground, and came and wanted to ask about Krishna consciousness. And he was just ready, you know. He was just ripe for hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But the other devotees who were there with me, they had this idea of that, you know, we shouldn't speak very heavily or, you know, strongly, just be nice with people. And I didn't want to go against them because, you know, they were senior to me. And I thought, well, anyway, this man's so eager and he's got Prabhupada's Gita that, you know, he's practically a devotee. So anyway, he came another two or three times, and in the next few days. But the devotees, they were saying, "Yeah, well, if you like, you can take. You know, if you you can try." They weren't really showing, "Yes, this is the way. This is what you should do." They were just kind of very laid back about the whole thing. So anyway, I went out traveling around some villages, this, that, preaching, and I came back after maybe two or three weeks. And when I came back, I asked, what happened to that man who was coming? No. And devotee said, they met some Christians, and he met some Christians, and he became a Christian. What a blunder. I thought, what a blunder. He could have been a devotee. The Christians will have said, yes, you have to follow Jesus, otherwise you go to hell. But we didn't want to be clear. I mean, they're clear, but they're wrong. He wanted some clear guidance, and we didn't give it. And then he became, you know, a meat-eating Christian with no actual understanding of who God is, just some fanaticism. If you speak strongly and clearly, it is a risk that some people may become upset. It happened with Prabhupada also, that some people became upset at his speaking. But often those people who become upset, later on they think about it and they think, well, actually he was right. Once Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he was studying at the university, and he brought his professor of philosophy or something to meet Prabhupada. So this professor was an Indian from a Vaishnava background, but he'd become a puffed up atheist. So Prabhupada blasted him. Prabhupada was shaking in anger at this man, at the nonsense he was talking. Right. And eventually the devotees had to physically take that man out. And that man, he became very inimical to Prabhupada. If Prabhupada had said, yes, that's very interesting what you're saying, and in my opinion, and you have your opinion, and this is my opinion, and blah, 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 and if they'd all played their roles, the professor visiting the Hindu Swami, everyone would have been very happy. But Prabhupada, he was very, very angry with him. But later on, that professor thought, well, actually, Prabhupada was right. And he went back to his Vaishnav way of thinking. There are many instances. Once on the west coast of America, one young man who was maturely successful came to see Prabhupada. And this man was used to being respected, as materially successful people are, respected by others. Prabhupada just cut his false ego. So he described, when I was driving back, I was like shaking. No one had ever spoken to him like that before. But he thought, yeah, he's right. So he came back the next day with a check for $1,000, which in those days was a lot of money, and no one gave big donations like that. And a few weeks later, he gave up all his material success and joined the temple. So we are not pure like Prabhupada. Yes, that is true. But the truth is the truth is the truth. That is also true. And it's the fact that by speaking the truth can be communicated, and that by not speaking the truth, that however much you smile at people for 10 million years, unless you speak the truth, they'll never get the truth. I have personal experience of speaking strongly and of people becoming upset, although mostly our devotees seem to get upset more than the karmis, because the karmis can appreciate that. It seems to me many times they can appreciate that there's something valuable being spoken. I also have experience of people's lives changing on the spot by speaking strongly to them, which otherwise might not happen. And speaking strongly doesn't necessarily mean you have to shout and scream or any such thing. In Bangalore in India, someone came up to me once and said, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 12 years, but I still can't give up eating onions. And, you know, I spoke to many sannyasis, but, you know, no one could convince me. And I just said, 12 years and you couldn't give up eating onions? I'm not going to waste my time talking to you. And I just walked away. And that did it. He stopped eating onions. I was told later. Something clicked. There are many such instances. I don't even remember it a lot of the time. Devotees tell me afterwards. I recently in... Bahrain, someone said to me that, "Oh, when I first met you, you told me that, when are you going to get serious about spiritual life? You're already 50 years old. You're already half dead." He said, "Well, those words, they completely changed my life." I don't even remember telling him that. I couldn't, but you know, it does have an effect. It can have an effect. In Ireland, some years ago, there were two young girls who were. They came up to. I gave a lecture. They came up to me, and then I asked them. Well, they were interested in Krishna consciousness. I said, "Well, what are you doing?" They said, "Well, we're working this, that." I said, "Why don't you join the temple?" I said, "Well, we never thought of that. No one said that to us before." So they both joined the temple and did wonderful service for several years before they both got married, and they're still very nice devotees. So if we speak clearly and our intention is to benefit others, then persons who are sincere will appreciate that. And persons who are rascals, their rascaldom will be exposed. Mm-hmm. If we simply want to express our own envy of others by calling them bad names, that's not preaching strongly in the spirit of Srila Prabhupada. Okay. But the desire to benefit others, that we can't tolerate to see them going on the wrong path, and therefore we point out very clearly that you are on the wrong path, well, that will be appreciated. That will have its effect. Now, it's a fact that if you just sing nice songs and tell a few stories, that you might get more people coming. And you'll probably get lots of donations. But you might not get very many people who are very serious or committed. Because commitment comes from understanding the absolute necessity of Krishna consciousness. There are already plenty of watered-down religious processes all over the world. And if you want, if this kind of so-called sadhu who just smiles and talks in nice words, I mean, there are dozens of them on every street corner in India. And people think a sadhu is someone with long hair and a beard who giggles. Giggles? Smile. No, giggle means to go, it's like a little tinny laugh.
Like chanting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the Russian word. That's your job. It means it's a kind of silly laugh. So, anyway, if you want to know about this in more detail, it's in that book, My Memories of Prabhupada.
Воспоминания Шри
Прабхупады. What's the next question? Let's go on.
Maharaj, please explain what to do. It often happens that some prasadam is left after meal in the plate and I have to throw it away. Please explain, is it correct or not? And what should we do to avoid such situations?
Well, Srila Prabhupada said to serve little by little.
Srila
Prabhupada said, so that people don't take too much. And those who are devotees, they should not take more than they can eat. And if they take more than they can eat, they should eat it anyway, because it's offensive to waste prasad. Only gurus are meant to leave a little remnants for their disciples, that's all. Otherwise you should take everything. So first thing is to educate the devotees not to take too much. And that this is not just food to titillate the tongue and pack the belly, but this is Krishna's mercy, that we serve Krishna by taking prasadam. So with guests coming, give them little. Don't give them a lot. If they want, they can come and take more. Or you can go, actually better to serve them. You go to them and give them more. So the best thing is to avoid having leftovers. To avoid having leftovers by education. If nevertheless there is something left over, well, what can you do? You could maybe feed it to the local cats or something.
Как, например, Шиварама Махарадж и Бхактибринга Говинда с вами Махарадж. Is it possible that someday you will organize community with your disciples, like Шиварама Махарадж or Бхактибринга Говинда Махарадж?
Yes. Next question. Although it's not so likely I'm going to sit in one place as they do. That is happening, actually, in India. There are moves for that. I'm based in India, they're based in Hungary and Kazakhstan, respectively.
В Казахстане.
Yeah, then,
will the book
on Grihastha Ashram?
Yes, be published.
Yeah, it will be, but what I always have this dilemma. I have to travel and preach, and I also have to write, and writing takes a lot of time. Anyway, pray that I have long life and clear intelligence that I can do these projects quickly. These books are needed sooner rather than later.
Jai Gurudev!
Gunadham. Gunadham. Those lectures on Grihastha life, they are now available on CD?
Yeah, there are two lectures.
Just two?
Yeah, out of three or five, I suppose.
Uh-huh. What happened to the other ones?
I just don't have them.
Hmm. Okay, well, there is a CD with some of my lectures on Grihastha life in Russian available.
Same CD as
well. There's a CD, there's something is available there.
How important is to develop personal relationships with Diksha Guru?
Personal relationship is based on hearing and service. It's essential to have that relationship, as Srila Prabhupada did with his own guru. Even though he personally met him no more than 12 times, as he said. Okay, what's next?
Is Krishna consciousness a religion?
Not in the normally understood sense of the term. Religion is defined in the dictionary as a kind of faith. Krishna consciousness is a practical manner of acting in relation with our existential position in relation to the Supreme Truth. Krishna consciousness is a practical way of acting and living based on our existential position, ontological position. Natural constitutional position is the word that Srila Prabhupada used. In relationship with the Absolute Truth. Then.
Although there are thousands of equal names of God, why name Krishna is prominent?
Because it summarizes everything. It means he who is all attractive. So this summarizes all the qualities of the Supreme Truth. He's all attractive. Yeah. It summarizes and includes.
Your Holiness, you described very precisely Mayavadi philosophy and relativity. Unfortunately, in ISKCON, such philosophy is also happens, and then basic values of Srila Prabhupada are changed to secondary values. And when new devotees come, they do not know basic values, and secondary values they see as basic.
It became a religion.
Or they read Srila Prabhupada's books, they see higher values, but coming to the temple, they do not find it there. It disappoints them. And also sincere followers of Srila Prabhupada are disappointed due to this. How can we protect purity of main principles from relativity? And how can we help devotees who are influenced by the philosophy of relativity? Thank you very much.
Yeah, sometimes people ask, should we follow what's in your books or what you do? Should we follow what's in your books or what you do? Sometimes people ask, there should be no difference. Recently, one of our devotees, he is distributing at rock concerts in America, distributing Prabhupada's books. And he met the manager of one rock band, so he wanted to get permission from him to distribute inside the concert hall. And the manager said, oh yeah, great, your books are great. And he said, but your temples are in Maya. So it's sad that even non-devotees can sometimes see it. So it's a very serious question when even non-devotees come to us with these statements. Yes. Well, we are those who want to present Krishna consciousness as Srila Prabhupada did, as the absolute reality. They have to do so. Then you become a member of the parampara. And we have to discuss these things and make it clear what is the proper following and what isn't. Although, speaking very frankly, it will make you unpopular. And, you know, even the temple managers won't like you for doing that. And say, well, you shouldn't say these things in public. You can talk all nonsense, you know, that, well, this, that, everything's all relative and it's all one. And you can say all that in public and you can have... You can even set up educational institutions within ISKCON, teaching in a relativistic way, but if you criticize it, then there's something wrong with you. So these are some of the difficulties we face. You can expect to be called bad names and made fun of, called a fanatic, a dinosaur, and so on. Anyway, I have to meet Srila Prabhupada when this body drops down dead. When this body drops down dead, I hope to be admitted into the presence of Srila Prabhupada. When this body drops down dead, I hope to be admitted into the presence of Srila Prabhupada. And I hope I can elicit his pleasure in doing so. I hope he will be pleased by seeing me and not displeased. I also plan to write books. I plan to write one book called, a series of books on the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, go on with the chanting, go on with the dancing, go on with prasad distribution, go on with the book distribution. It appears that the situation is not as chronic in this country as it is in some other countries, but that this kind of question is coming here also, it shows that the poison is spreading throughout the body. So we should know there is a cultural divide within our movement between what may be called traditionalists on one hand and what may be called liberals or revisionists on the other hand. We should know that there is a cultural divide within our movement between those who may be called traditionalists or conservative, which means basically they just want to teach what Prabhupada taught as he taught it, and those who are called liberals or revisionists or pragmatists or whatever else you want to call them. So it's a theological cauldron or boiling pot. It's a theological soup, I guess you can say. So it's up to you to pick out the solid pieces from the liquid. Pick out the substance from the before everything gets blended into one. Anyway, Hare Krishna.